In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I once heard a man talk about a time in his youth when he had been with an older man whom he admired greatly. They were at a luncheon, and the waiter spilled soup on the older man. The young man was impressed by the gracious way in which his hero handled the incident, made the embarrassed waiter feel a little better. He said, "I decided then and there that if a waiter ever spilled soup on me, I would handle it just as my hero had. But I have lived many years, and no waiter has ever spilled soup on me. And I've come to realize that I missed many opportunities to be gracious because I was waiting for the spilled soup." Now, isn't that true? How often we focus on the details of a situation and miss the larger message that we should be hearing. We can't see the forest for the trees. Well, we can have that same problem with the gospel text that we just heard. We can decide that we will always sit in the lowest seat and therefore miss many opportunities to practice humility. And yet, can you imagine what would happen if we took this parable literally? We'd have a whole bunch of people battling for the lowest seat and then sitting there expectantly waiting to be called up to a more prestigious seat. Jesus isn't talking here about a strategy for being recognized and called to a higher place. No, this is a parable. Jesus is talking about the kind of attitude we should have toward life. That's also true about the saying about hospitality. We all know how easy it is for hospitality to become a matter of you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. If I invite you to dinner, you're expected to invite me. But Jesus says that we are to invite the people who can't return the favor. But notice this. Jesus isn't telling us to make sure that those people get enough to eat. In that society, to eat with someone was to declare that that person is your friend. In other words, Jesus is telling us to expand our circle of friends, to include those who are less fortunate than we are. And that, of course, requires us to push the boundaries of our comfort zone, or we're most comfortable with those who are like us, aren't we? So what does that have to do with the gospel? Well, the gospel not only tells us of God's grace to us in Jesus, but also tells us that we are to reflect God's grace in our lives. In this passage, I believe Jesus is calling us to recognize that everything we have is a gift from God. All our talents, all our abilities, all our wealth, all our prestige, whatever we have that is important to us is a gift from God. For example, I was blessed by the family in which I grew up. I was loved and not abused. We were never poverty-stricken. I was encouraged in the things I wanted to do. And my parents were always ready to help others who were in need. The family in which I was raised was definitely a gift from God. And since those childhood experiences make it easier for me to be loving and encouraging and to reach out to others, whatever ability I have to do those things is also a gift from God. Now, for those gifts, I'm grateful, and I should be. For when we recognize that the important things we have in life are gifts that we have been given, rather than accomplishments of our own, then gratitude is the natural outcome, isn't it? That, I think, is what Jesus is doing here. He is calling us to have an attitude of gratitude. Attitude of gratitude. That's a catchy term, isn't it? Hopefully it's one that's easy to remember. But what does it mean? What does it involve? Well, let's try to unpack that term a bit to make it more specific. First of all, it helps us to understand what humility is, because humility, I think, is often misunderstood. Some people think that humility means thinking that everyone else is better than you are, everyone else is more deserving than you are, everyone else is more competent than you are. I once heard a grandmother whose grandchildren were very smart tell the parents that they shouldn't compliment their children lest they become proud. Now, I think that's a false view of humility. Humility begins by realizing that God has given you gifts. He has, you know. We all have gifts. That means we all have value in God's sight, and therefore we should have value in our own eyes. There's a type of pride that's perfectly compatible with humility. That is a pride in honest achievement of any time. For instance, in all humility, I'm a good preacher. I know that because people have told me that my preaching has made a difference in their lives. One lady once told me that under my preaching, she'd come to realize for the first time that she had real value as a person. Now, I'm proud of that. But at the same time, I'm deeply grateful that God allowed me to help her, and I realized that it was really God working through me. So an attitude of gratitude means, first of all, that we recognize our own self-value and self-worth, that we can hold our heads high as God's creatures and as God's children. Second, an attitude of gratitude makes it clear that we should not expect special treatment. Why not? Because we don't deserve it. Think of the people who expect or even demand special treatment. Nobility, the wealthy, the famous. What are they saying? They're saying, I'm better than other people because of my birth or my bank account or my press clippings. And therefore, I should be treated in a special way. But you see, if all that we have, including our birth and the talents that enable us to accumulate wealth or achieve fame in some field, if all these are gifts from God, how can they make us better than others? Are some of God's gifts more important than others? I don't think so. So do some gifts make us more valuable than others? I don't think so. My first wife was a nurse, and she insisted that the most important people in the hospital were the people who did the cleaning. She said you could get rid of the executives for a week or two, and the hospital would still run very well, but get rid of the cleaners and the whole place would be a mess. Gifts are all important. No matter what gifts God has given to us, those gifts are important. So humility means that while we don't consider ourselves unimportant or without value, neither do we consider ourselves better than other people. Surely we may recognize that we have gifts which are useful, valuable, and we may recognize the value of those gifts to ourselves and to others, but that doesn't make us better or give us a right to expect special treatment. Third, this attitude of gratitude should keep us from judging others. We all have different gifts. My gifts may make it easy for me to do something that's really hard for you. That doesn't give me any right to judge you. You may have gifts which make it easy for you to do something which is very hard for me, then that gives you no right to judge me. And that applies to people whose life, whose way of life is foreign to us. You know, when I see someone who has succumbed to alcoholism, I ask myself, what is it, what was it in his or her life that made an alcoholic stupor seem preferable to facing reality? And that's a difficult question to answer, you know. I have several children in Alcoholics Anonymous, so you can imagine that I've asked that question often. I don't think I have a complete answer to it yet, but I have learned not to judge my children, and I've also learned not to judge their parents. The road of their life journeys has been quite different than mine, and as a result of that, they have some gift for ministry which I do not have. God's gifts to them are different than God's gifts to me, but we are all valued children of God, and we need to recognize that value in one another. Fourth, this attitude of gratitude should keep us from having narrow boundaries. I said earlier that we're almost comfortable with people who are like us, and I think you'd probably agree with that statement. But when we realize that other people who differ from us have received different gifts from the same God who gave us our gifts, then we need to realize that we can learn something from them. We ought to learn to push our comfort limits, to expand them. And every time we do that, we're more exposed to God's wonderful world. Every time we do that, we grow a bit. Every time we do that, we find new ways, new areas in which our gifts can be used. On the other hand, if we don't push our comfort limits, they tend to move inward. We become less and less tolerant of small differences. We become more and more selective about the people with whom we fellowship. We become narrow people. And that's not what God wants of us, is it? God wants us to grow. And growth always demands pushing beyond where we are. So when we're grateful to God for our gifts, we'll want to keep on learning new ways to use them, new areas in which they can be used, and new people who can be included in our lives. Finally, this attitude of gratitude is essential to reflecting God's love in our lives. The gifts we have are expressions of God's love. When we use those gifts in a spirit of gratitude, we reflect that love of God in our actions. We are God's representatives in all that we do. Don't ever forget that. We are God's representatives in all that we do. And when you and I can use our gifts in harmony together, then our ability to reflect God's love grows exponentially. When we join together in the love of God, then our togetherness itself speaks of God's love. And when we unitedly use our gifts to accomplish more together than we could do apart. And when we do that in a spirit of gratitude to God for all his love to us, then God's love shines out like a lamp in the darkness. So these few words of Jesus about how to act in social situations really lead us deeply into ourselves. They call us to examine ourselves. Do we have an attitude of gratitude? What do our actions say? Let's ask God to give us, individually and as a congregation, an attitude of gratitude that will reflect God's love brightly in this world that so desperately needs to see it. To God, the giver of every gift, be praise and honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.